Blog Talk Radio.
I just want to say good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another Friday evening Bible study. I'm your host, Donald Rettimeyer, and with me you have our co-host, Sister Jackie Grace. Jackie, I just want to welcome you and welcome all the others that are listening. It is such a pleasure to be here with you and to be able to share the Word of God. And today in particular, we are looking at a very interesting topic. The topic is how to grow in Christ. How to grow in Christ, or growing in Christ. So we're going to look at that, and I know, Jackie, you have some comments to make about that a little later. And I just want to say that our pastor, Pastor Milliken, is still in India, so we need to keep him in prayer. And his ministry over there, he's going to be over there for 1 month. And then our other pastor that normally hosts with me also is not here this week. So I will be doing the speaking today, and I'm so happy to be able to share this topic with you and to talk about growing up in Christ and what it means to grow up in Christ and what are some of the things that would help us to grow in Christ. So I think it's a very interesting topic, because after conversion, then what? You know, do we just go back to our old life, or do we just remain the way we are, or should we be continually growing? And I think the answer is that we should be continually growing. We should be continually becoming more and more like Christ. And the question is, how do we do that? How do we become like Him each and every day, knowing that the challenges that each and every day brings, especially for the children of God, always trying to, you know, present us with setbacks and things that will easily, the devil try to use things that will easily trip us up. He knows our weaknesses, and he always try to, you know, play on those weaknesses so that we can fall. It was like when Jesus was in the wilderness of temptation after his baptism, he went there so that he can be strengthened to begin his ministry. And while he was there, he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And it was at that point when he was weak after not eating for 40 days that the devil came to him and tempted him, saying, you know, if you be the Son of God, then, you know, just turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. Eat the bread. So that's what the devil does. He knows our weaknesses, and he knows when we are at our weakest, and that's where he tried to get us to fall. But we have to learn how we can keep growing in Christ and learn how we can stay ahead of the devil, so that when he comes with his temptation, we can say, like Christ, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so that's going to be our discussion for today. But without any further ado, I just want to introduce Jackie and say welcome, Sister Grace. I know you always have a word for us, and you always have some encouragement for those of us who are traveling along this pathway that leads to glory. And so, Jackie, what is your word for us today?
Good afternoon, and God bless each and every one. It's always a good thing to conclude our evening this way by gathering together to hear what God has for us, you know, because we receive spiritual nourishment to continue on this Jesus journey. So I just encourage everyone to grow in the Spirit, you know, and as you were saying, growing in the Spirit is a very important topic, because after we do what Acts 2:38 said, which is repent and be ye baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, that we have to continue growing. We can't remain the same place. We can't remain as baby in Christ. We can't continue drinking milk. Just like, for example, whenever a baby came to this world, you start by breastfeeding, you know, then you start on a little harder diet, you go on milk, then a little harder, then you start eat on your own. But that does not mean that you're not going to need other brothers, because that's how we grow in the Spirit, you know, by seeking and walking in God's will, you know. And some of the things that can help us is reading His Word, you know, and you know, be ye holy, for I am holy. How can we be holy? By walking in the step of Jesus Christ. Because without walking in His will, you know, and keep His commandment, we cannot grow.
Amen. That is so true. We got to continually feast on the Word, right?
Amen.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that thought with us. And I know you're going to share as we go along today. And I just want to ask that you do the prayer for us, the opening prayer and the closing prayer. But before we get to that, we're going to play a very special song. And it's a song that I hope will encourage us as we continue to press on along this Christian pathway. All right, so let us just sit back and listen to Ride On, King Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that is the Bel Canto Choir from Blue Mountain Academy. We just want to thank those young people for that song. And at this time, we're going to go into our prayer. And so, Jackie, could you open us with prayer? I just want you to mention me in your prayer in a very special way. And I have some developments that are taking place that is coming through right now, and I'm going to talk more about it next week. So we need to be here next week for that. So I just want you to pray for me on that, and pray for, you know, all those who are listening. And in a very special way, pray for Pastor Milliken, who is in India, and Pastor Carlson, who could not be with us this afternoon. So just keep them in prayer. And in a very special way, I did not get to speak to her. What is the sister from Alabama there with you, Jackie? What is her name again? Okay. Jackie, are you there? All right. Let us bow our heads for prayer. I thought Jackie was still there, but apparently she stepped away from it. I hope she can still hear me. Anyhow, let us pray. Father and our God, we thank you so much for your love and your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your goodness and for Jesus Christ, the sinner's friend. We thank you, O God, that you have given us another opportunity to be here today. And so in a very special way, we just want to pray for all the developments that is taking place with me here in Georgia and working with Christian Records. I just pray that you may bless and guide and direct us as we continue to do your work in this part of the vineyard. And I pray in a very special way for Pastor Milliken, who is in India at this time doing his missionary trip. I pray that you may bless it and help that much success may come to his work out there. Help that people may hear and people may receive the word and be baptized and be changed. I pray in a very special way also for Pastor Carson, who is not here with us today. Be with him and his lovely wife as they continue to do your work where they are. I pray in a very special way for all those people with visual impairment here in the state of Georgia, all my friends and all those that we study with from time to time, those who are on the line, those who are not on the line, we pray for them. We pray that you may continue to keep us and protect us. Remember Sister Frances in a mighty way. Bless her as she continues to live for you, and help that by thy grace that whatever we do and say may bring glory to your name. Bless Sister Jackie and her family. Bless in a very special way my wife as she continues to receive kidney surgery, and bless my son too, and bless your people throughout the world over. Remember the poor and the suffering. Remember, O Father, those who are homeless in this cold weather, and remember in a very special way people with visual impairment throughout the world over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I just want to welcome each and every one of us back again. And today, like I said earlier, we are looking at the topic, how to grow in Jesus, how to grow in Christ. And the springboard for this topic is, what do we do after we have come to Christ, after we have been converted, after we have accepted him? What is the next step? Well, following conversion, following baptism, for those of us who are baptized, some people might not have been baptized before, and we'll talk about baptism the next time. We're going to talk about that today. But baptism is like the what you must call the entering wedge, so to speak, into the life of Christ, into living the Christian life and being fully committed to Christ. When you get baptized, you're saying, well, I'm fully committed to Christ and I want to live for him and I want my life to reflect his character. And so what happens after that? After that, and baptism follows conversion, of course, when you're converted, in order to change from living for the world to living for Christ. And so following conversion, what do we do? What are some of the steps that one should take as we grow into the Christian life? Well, when we are converted, the Bible says that we become like newborn babes. We become like babes entering into the world for the first time. You're entering into a new life, right? Nicodemus, one night Nicodemus came to him and asked him, you know, about salvation and what you must do to be saved. And Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was like, how can this be? How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? So Jesus wasn't talking about going back into your mother's womb. So Jesus told him what the born again experience is all about is being born again of water and of the Spirit. Right? Water is being baptized and the Spirit is being, you know, having the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling in your life so that you can surrender to God. So that is the born-again experience that Jesus talks about. But after that happened, after we have been born again, then we must continue to grow in Christ. And how do we grow? If you look at it literally, and we talk about growing in the spiritual sense, right? Growing in the spiritual sense, literally, physically, we grow by eating the right foods. If we eat, you know, healthy and we eat balanced and we eat in the proper portion, then we grow strong and we become, you know, healthy. And physically, if we don't eat, then we become malnourished and we get sick and we get weak. And if we continue not eating, then eventually we would die, right? And that's in the physical sense. But guess what? It's the same thing with the spiritual sense also. If we don't eat spiritually, then we are going to die as Christians. And Jackie said something earlier. She said, when you're a newborn babe, you start out by breastfeeding, you know, and then you start again milk, and then you can start to eat some mashed potatoes and stuff like that. And then as you keep growing, then you get to eat, you know, more solid food like bread, and then you go on to, you know, some rice and beans and some chicken and stuff like that. As you continue to grow, but you start with the milk first, the easy stuff, and then as you develop, you can take the stronger stuff. And it's just amazing that when you get sick and when you get weak, you go back to eating the easy stuff first, right? You go back to milk, you go back to taking just liquid and fluids and soup and things like that so that you can build up your strength. And then when you get strong, then you can go back to the strong food again. Spiritual sense, it's the same thing. In the book of John, John chapter 17, and I'm going to use that as my first text. John 17, and I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. And John chapter 17, reading verse 17, Jesus speaking, he said, sanctify them. And this is when he was praying for his disciples before his crucifixion. In his prayer, he said, sanctify them, sanctify the disciples. And not only the disciples, but he was praying for us as well, you and I, you know, down through the ages. He said, sanctify them by thy truth. And then he says, your word is truth. So we are sanctified or we are set apart when we are born again. Instead of being, you know, belonging to the world, now we belong to Christ and we are set apart to holy work. And then he's saying, how we are set apart is through the word of God. The word of God is what sanctifies us, is what sets us apart. And that is what helps us to grow. That is what we must feast on as we grow in Christ. I'm going to turn to the same book of John, but I'm just going to go back a few chapters. We were in John 17. I'm going to go back to John chapter 6. And then I'm going to look at verse 35 and then verses 51 through 54. So I'm looking at verse 35 first in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and looking at verse 35. Jesus again speaking, it says, then Jesus declared, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now we go to verse 51 through 54. It says, I am the living bread that come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, what was Jesus saying here when he says to eat his flesh and drink his blood? He wasn't talking about eating his flesh literally and drinking his blood literally, but in the spiritual sense, when we feast on the Word of God, it's like eating and drinking Jesus' blood and his flesh, because the Word of God is all about Christ. The Bible is all about Christ. Christ is the living Word. He came into the world and died so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And when we feast on the Word, it means we read the Word, we believe the Word, and we accept it into our lives spiritually. That's how we feast on it spiritually, is by accepting it, believing and accepting it. If we don't believe, if we don't accept, then we cannot receive. And then what would happen is that we will grow hungry. You see? So as Christians, we have to continually fellowship with Christ and continually receive power from him as we feast on his word. And that's why we do this Bible study every Friday afternoon, so that we can encourage ourselves and encourage each other and help each other to grow stronger and stronger as Christians. This is our spiritual food, right? And when you read the Word of God, it is your spiritual food, and that's how you eat, and that's how you become strong, and you become stronger and stronger in Christ. Christ is the Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1, right? In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And it says, this light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So it's telling us here that Jesus Christ is the Word. And that's why I'm saying that when it talks about eating the Word, and he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's talking about feasting on the Word of God, because the Word is what Jesus is, or that's who Jesus is. He is the Word. When we study the Bible, we're studying all about Jesus Christ, and we should be growing, and that's how we grow and we become stronger and stronger in him. Now I'm going to go to the Old Testament, Psalms 55, 16 and 17. If you're with me, if you can get to your Bible, we're looking to the book of Psalms. That's the Old Testament book of Psalms, the 55th division. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17, Psalms 55, 16 and 17. And it says, but I call to God, and the Lord saved me. Evening, morning, and noon I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. So this is taking us to the second step that we should take now. The first thing we should do is study the Word of God. And then the second thing, if we're going to grow, we're talking about growing in Christ, if we're going to grow in Christ, the second step after feasting on the Word of God and studying the Word of God is crying out to him or calling to him, and we do so in prayer. One of the greatest men in the Bible did this. And I'm talking about that man by the name of Daniel. Daniel, in Daniel 6, 4 and 10, he was challenged by some of his co-workers, so to speak, because they wanted to get Daniel in trouble. And they challenged Daniel to see if he would stop praying, if he would stop calling upon God. And how they did it, they just set up a plot. And we can read about it. Let us look at Daniel 6. And I'm going to read verses 4 through 10. Daniel chapter 6, 4 through 10. And it talk about how seriously Daniel took prayer. Daniel 6, 4 through 10. It says, at this, the administrators and the seraphs tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could not find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charge against him unless it has something to do with the law of his God. Excuse me. Verse 6 says, so the administrators and the satraps went as a group to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any other god during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the laws of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room, where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. And we can say amen to that. Because here you have Daniel deciding that in spite of the fact that these administrators and prefects and all these co-workers, so to speak, wanted to set a trap for him and get him into trouble, that he was not going to stop doing what he normally do, and that is to pray. Because he realized how prayer is and staying in touch with his Creator, God, he realized how vital that is to him growing up in Christ and being who he wants to be and who he knows that God wants him to be. So Daniel opened his window, the Bible says, and he prayed three times a day, just like he did before the decree was passed. And just to give us a little background on this, you know, the laws of the Medes and Persians, it says there, they cannot be changed. And so when they went to the king and they told the king that everyone agreed to such a law, that nobody should pray to any god except to the king for the next 30 days, And they said, all of us agreed to that. They never spoke to Daniel about it. Otherwise, Daniel would not have agreed. So they just was lying to the king in the first place by saying, all of us agree, because Daniel was one of the administrators in Darius' kingdom. And in them saying that all of us agree, they were just lying, because Daniel did not agree to it. But the king didn't know what they were doing. He didn't know what they were up to. And he signed the decree, and he passed it in writing. And anything, you know, any laws that the Medes and Persians put in writing cannot be altered and cannot be changed. And so when the king found out what was happening, he couldn't do anything about it, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. But we know the story, because even though Daniel spent a night in the den of the lions, nothing happened to him. God sealed up the lion's mouth and protected Daniel. And then the next day, when the king went and he called Daniel, Daniel was able to answer the king and come out of the lion's den. But then those administrators that tricked the king, when the king found out what they did, he threw them into the lion's den. And the Bible says that before they hit the ground, the lions were all over them. They ate them, you know, from head to toe. So those wicked men, their tricks and their scheme and their plot turned back, and it backfired on them. But that was because Daniel took prayer seriously, and he took it very, very, he saw it as very important, a part of his spiritual growth. And so we have studying the Word of God to be very important, and then we have prayer, the second thing that we should do if we are going to grow spiritually. Now, the third step, if we're going to continually grow in Christ and be strong, is to always try to stay away from temptation. Don't just look in temptation and run straight into it and go and do it, or try to play with temptation, so to speak. You always try to stay away with it. Stay away from it, sorry. And don't try to play with it, because the devil always try, like I said earlier in this discourse, always try to get us at our weakest point so that he can trip us up and cause us to fall. Let us look at James chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. The book of James, chapter 1, 13 through 16. And James is down in the New Testament, going towards the back, after you get the book of Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. No. My mistake there. Yeah. You have James and then 1st Peter. So you have James, 1st Peter. You got a book of Hebrews and then James. Then 1st and 2nd Peter after that. So James is before Peter. So looking at James chapter 1 and reading verses 13 through 16. The Bible says, James 1, 13 through 16, it says, when tempted, no man or no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each man is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Deceived. So what James is saying here, that when you're facing temptation, don't think that temptation is from God. God may allow the temptation to come to you, you know, because he can stop it, but he may allow it. But God does not tempt anyone, especially to do evil. And God cannot be tempted with evil. So if you're being tempted to do something that is wrong and to do something that's evil, then you know that temptation is from the devil. And you should not entertain it. You should not play with it. But you should stay away from it. do like what Jesus did with the temptations that the devils brought to him. When they came, Jesus just answered plainly. He said, look, it is written, you know. And finally, he said to Satan, he said, get thee behind me, Satan, you know, leave me alone. Don't entertain it. Eve entertained the devil in the Garden of Eden, and that is how she ended up picking the fruit when she should not have picked it and given it to her husband, and both of them end up eating it. You know, if she had just walked away from the devil and leave him there by himself in that tree, then she would not have fallen, you know, into sin. But by staying around and talking with the devil and trying to tell the devil what God says and what God did not say, you know, having a conversation, that's how she fell. So the first point, if we're going to continue, right, is the word point, is to pray. Pray continually, like Daniel. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We can pray 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, 1 time, 2 times, but always pray. And then the third step in growing up in Christ is not to entertain temptation, but to stay away from temptation and to focus on the things that are right and pleasing in Christ. There's another text I want to look at, and that's Romans chapter 13 and verse 14. Romans 13 and verse 14. And that's coming down towards the end of the book of Romans. Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 14. It says, don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. And that's reading from the New Living Testament. Don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. And this is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying that evil desires is something that we have, or the devil will just pop ideas into our mind, like how we came to Jesus and, you know, was telling him to turn the stone into the bread, or to cast himself down from the temple, things, or to bow down and worship him. You know, these things would come. You don't have to go looking for the devil, so to speak. The devil will find you. And even though you're a person that might be into doing what is right and doing what is good, there are times when, you know, evil thoughts would come to your mind, when the devil would bring these thoughts to your mind and would, you know, try to get you to go ahead with them and then to ultimately sin against God. But Paul is saying here, don't think of ways to indulge them. Don't try to reason with them. Don't try to play around with it. Because by doing so, you're putting yourself in danger, more danger than you know. It's like the story, whenever we talk about temptation, and one of the things that always come to mind, at least in my mind, is the story with Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph was tempted by her, and he could have sat down there and said, you know what, Miss Potiphar, let's talk about this rationally. You're a married woman, I'm a married man, and, you know, we need to be careful with what we do. Or no, Joseph wasn't married at that time. Sorry about that. But he could have told her that, you know, you are a married woman. You are my boss's wife. And it wouldn't be right for us to, you know, sit down and talk. And then, you know, she would have keep pressing him. And then he just sat there and trying to keep talking her out of it. And before you know it, he might have ended up giving in to her. So after Joseph realized that she was, you know, being strong, and then she was trying to grab him, he just said, you know what, I'm not going to stick around. He ran. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You know, you just have to run. Don't try to reason with the devil and try to out-talk him, because he is going to, you know, get the upper hand if you're not careful. And so Paul is saying here in Romans 13 and 14, he says, don't think of ways to indulge your evil desires. All right? The devil can make you do anything. He can just tempt you. But you have to decide that you're going to do it. And anytime we sin, that is what we do. We make that conscious decision that we are going to do what is wrong. And the longer we stay around the temptation, the easier it is for us to reason and to rationalize and do what is wrong. And that is why Jesus, in praying also, when he was teaching the disciples to pray, one of the things he says that we should pray for is that we pray out that we are not led into temptation. He says, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. If we are tempted and we get into a situation that we know is going to cause us trouble, we should pray and ask God to deliver us so that we can walk away from it and don't stick around. All right? Don't stand up. You know, I always like to read Psalms 1. It tells us about something like that, about sticking around evil. Because it says, blessed is the man that walketh not, right, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen? So it's just saying that you should not hang around evil and hope to be delivered from it. It says, don't walk in it, don't stand around it, don't sit, especially don't sit in anything that would give you evil or that would tempt you to do evil. When those things come around, the best thing to do is to run, is to get out of there, leave it alone, or do like Satan, just rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. All right? Rebuke the devil, and it says, and he will flee from you. All right. We're going to look at two more texts, and that is Matthew 10, 32 and verse 33, Matthew 10, 32 and verse 33, which is going to bring up the fourth step that we need to take in order to grow in Christ. So we talk about studying the word, we talk about praying, we talk about not hanging out with evil or hanging around evil and entertaining evil. That's number three. And then number four now is Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Let us look at that. Step number four, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament, and this is what he has to say about growing up in Christ. Matthew 10, 32 and 33, and it says, whosoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whosoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. And what Jesus is saying here, he is saying that we should not be timid when it comes to telling others about him. That is step number four. Be able to witness for Christ. Don't be afraid. He says, whosoever acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge him before the Father. That's step number four, witness. Tell others about Christ. Share the word. That's how you grow. Tell people the things that you're learning, the things that have been said here, what you hear us talk about. You know, as these things come true to you, as you take a grasp and a hold on them, share them with others. Teach them. You can say to others, just like we're saying here, that, you know, these are the five steps when it comes to growing up in Christ. Number one, you study. Number two, you pray and pray continually. You know, study to show thyself approved on the word of God, which is feasting on God, feasting on Christ, because he is the word. Number three would be, don't hang around temptation. Don't mix with evil people, you know. There's a saying my mom used to say, show me your company and I'll tell you who you are. You know, you want to keep companions with good people. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's number three. And number four is acknowledging Christ before men, or witnessing, letting people know that you love Christ. Letting people know that you are a Christian. Letting people know that you belong to God. And God says that when you acknowledge him before men, this is what Jesus says, when you acknowledge him before men, he says he will acknowledge you before the Father. Isn't that neat? To know that when we pray and when we talk to God, that we have Jesus Christ there making intercession on our behalf, or interceding for us and acknowledging us and saying, yes, Father, you know, Donald might have done so and so, and he might have sinned, but he is repenting and he's coming to you. He is one of mine. And I want to save him, not because of anything that he did, but because of the blood that I have shed on Calvary Cross. And that blood can cover his sins, and that blood can deliver him from his sins and make him, you know, who he ought to be in Christ Jesus. And so that is what Jesus is saying here, that when you acknowledge him before men and you tell others about him, he will acknowledge you before the Father. And that is so neat. And I love that. Matthew 10:32-33. He says, but whosoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before the Father. Amen. So we see that witnessing is very important, because God says, when you fail to tell others about me, or you just act like if you don't know me when you're with people, then, you know, how can I stand up for you when you come to him and asking him to forgive? You know, because you don't want to acknowledge me. You're saying that my blood didn't do anything for you. You know, you're failing to give a testimony on my behalf. So how can I acknowledge you before the Father? He can't, because you don't feel that you have any connection, or you are afraid or whatever, to tell others about him and to testify to his goodness and what he's doing in your life. So if you're not testifying, it means that you're saying to people that, hey, Christ is not doing anything for you. And so you have to, you know, keep quiet about it. And God is saying, well, I've done so much for you. I came and I died. I gave you eternal life and free. You don't have to buy it, right? All you have to do is to accept it through me. And that is something that we can tell others. We can tell people, you know. I was talking to a Muslim young lady today as I was working. I met her in my work. And she was saying that, you know, in the Muslim, they believe that how you get to heaven is by doing good. And not only doing good to, you know, by not stealing and killing and, you know, by not doing things that are bad, but doing good in terms of helping people. Because, you know, I talk about Christian Record Service to the Blind, and she had one of our coin jars that we use for fundraising to help our blind camp. She had one of that in her store. And she was telling me why she, you know, would keep it there and why she encouraged people to support it and to support the blind camp, because she believed that in helping people as a Muslim, they believe that in helping people, that is one of the ways you go to heaven. Partially right in a way, but that's the Muslim belief. But I had to tell her that as a Christian, we believe the same thing. We believe in helping people, and we believe in doing good to people and all the rest of it. But when it comes to going to heaven, you know, the only way we can make it is through Jesus Christ, because the wages of sin is death, and somebody had to die. And if we didn't die for our own sins, then, you know, I mean, if we don't accept Christ's death on our behalf for our sins, then we would have to die for our own sins. And so I was just explaining that to her, and then she was trying to understand it more. And so I had to go. I couldn't get into everything, but I hope that one day I can get her to join us on this Bible study, and then we can talk more about things like that. So it is very important to acknowledge Christ before men. And the last step, the last and final step in growing up in Christ is in Matthew 18:21-22. Matthew 18:21-22. And that is our last two verses for today. Matthew 18:21-22. And it says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven times. In other words, 70 times 7 times. So what Jesus was saying is that exactly what he said in his prayer, when he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And before that, he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others that trespass against us. In other words, Jesus said we should always be willing to forgive. And as we are willing to forgive, that is how God is going to forgive us. So the final step is growing up in Christ is to know that you have a responsibility to forgive people that wrong you, because people are going to do wrong. You just can't hold grudges all your life, hold on to the wrong thing that people do to you. But you forgive them, and knowing that as you forgive them, because God in his mercy has forgiven you. And we should always believe that whenever we sin, that God will forgive us. No one believes that God is not going to hold our sin against us. So it doesn't matter how many times we sin, and that is what Jesus was saying here. The number of times that we should forgive people should not be, you know, it should not be limited. It should be limitless. We should be forgiven all the time, because that is what God is doing for us. We sin, and hopefully we get better and better to the point where, you know, we sin less and less, and hopefully one day stop sinning, and then, you know, Christ would come. But while we sin, while we hear and we know that we sin, we know we do wrong things, know and be confident that God will forgive you come what may. God will forgive you, not because of you being anything special, but because of who he is. That's how he is. As long as you come unto him, he says, for everyone that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. In other words, he will forgive you of your sins. So as he forgives you, then you learn to forgive others, knowing it is the mercies of God that, you know, give us salvation. We are not saved by anything that we can do. There's no way that we can work our way into heaven. You understand? And that's what I was trying to get my Muslim sister to understand. There's no way that you can do, you know, enough to get into heaven, because the wages of sin is death. The only way we can get to heaven is because Christ came and he paid the price, and then he was willing to forgive us from all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we're going to make it. So as we realize that, and as we know that that is how we are saved, by grace, through faith, then we have to be willing to exercise that same grace and that same faith to others. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Millican spoke about forgiveness, and that was such a wonderful topic, you know, and forgiving, how to forgive those who hurt you. That was the topic we did that a couple of weeks ago. One of the chief ways to do that is to realize that we ourselves have been forgiven, and God has to forgive us over and over, because we just have to remember the things that we did and the ways in which we have hurt God, but yet in his mercy, he still forgives us. And so with that, we are at the end of our study for today. And I want to thank you so much for listening and to join us. And then I'm just going to repeat the 5 steps again that we have to take when we talk about growing up in Christ. First, we study. We have to study the Word of God. If you don't eat, then you will die. That's right. You'll be malnourished physically, and same thing spiritually. The word of then we will die. The Bible said Daniel prayed 3 times a day, and for anything. So we have to pray all the time. It's pray without ceasing, because when we study, that's how God talked to us, and when we pray, that's how we talk to God, and that's how we develop that relationship that would help us to grow in Christ. So we study, we pray. Then point number 3 is that we don't indulge in wickedness, or we don't hang around and stay around wickedness. Because if you do things that are bad, or you hang around people that are like that, or you look at things, could be the TV or, you know, on your phone or anything like that, you look at things that you shouldn't be looking at, then you're definitely not going to grow in Christ. You have to get away from these things. You have to stay away. And even it might mean you might have to stay away from some people who might be wicked and want to pull you down into the same, you know, situation that they are in. All right? So don't hang around wickedness. That's number three. And then number four is to acknowledge Christ before men. Let people know who you are and whose you are, and let them know why you believe in Christ, you know, because there is no other name under heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. Buddha can do it. You know, my Muslim friends believe in Muhammad. Muhammad can't save us, you know. The only way we can be saved is through Jesus Christ. But it was just a very interesting conversation that I had with my Muslim friend and this afternoon, and it was such a blessing. So I'll try to get her on the study with us one Friday night. And then, yeah, the last point for today, the last point for us to do when it comes to growing up in Christ is learning to forgive and to receive forgiveness from God. We have to do both. We have to receive His forgiveness, knowing that He is well able to forgive us from our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then as we receive His forgiveness, we forgive others who hurt us and who do things that are not pleasing and pleasant in the sight of God to us. And so with that, we are at the end of our study. And I am going to play a song, Shall We Be Gathered? And after that, Sister Jackie is going to close us out in prayer and make a few comments.
Shall we gather?
Shall we gather?
we gather at the river? Shall we leave these cares behind? Oh Lord, shall we have them dry on weeping eyes? Shall we live for eternity? Shall we lay our burdens at His feet? Shall we gather at the river? Shall we gather?
On borrowed time, let us pray. All right. I'm not hearing Sister Jackie. Are you there?
Father God, in the name of Jesus, once more, Lord, we come before you to thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have, Lord, to hear from your servant, Lord, to help us to know how to grow in you, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we will allow your word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Also,
Amen.
Lord, that we remember that your word, if we hide it in our heart, will not sin against you, like by applying it
Amen.
To our living, everyday living, Lord, and that we will have that prayer life, because the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth
much.
Lord, we want to thank you for each and every person that could be part of this, Lord. Lord, we ask you to give your Holy Spirit power over this little branch of Zion, Lord, without forgetting the rest of the body, Lord. Lord, be with our family members. Lord, be with our pastor, Philemon, that is over there spreading the gospel to bring more people to know you, Lord. Lord, just be with him and his wife, Lord. Continue guiding them and help them, Lord, to have favor with the people they come upon, Lord. Lord, we ask for our brother Donald, whatever decision he has to make, Lord, we just ask you to help him and guide him, Lord, to take the right decision. Lord, continue to bless from us, Lord, and be with us, Lord, that we go from this place, but not from your presence, Lord, that we will allow you to work in us and work through us, Lord, because it's the only way that we can grow in the Spirit, that we can grow in you, is to have a relationship with you, dear God.
Yes.
So, Father God,
Amen.
We thank you, we praise you, and we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Jackie. I appreciate
that
prayer.
I was not close to my phone. I'm sorry. Early.
Oh, okay. No problem. Well, at least you got him back so that we can close off. And with that, I just want to say,
I just wanted to say God bless everyone and have a good weekend.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And same to each and every one also. God bless you. And see you next week, same place, same time. And tell someone about a study so that we can have more people joining us and more people being blessed. Bye.
Amen.
Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my song.